last week in the section prior to this, the MEM section, we saw that following God's word has the ability to make us wise. We saw that it makes us wiser than our enemies, can make us wiser than our teachers, and even wiser than our elders. And we saw that God's word is meant to keep us from sin. This second idea, that we follow God's word that we might not sin, is also found in this noon section in Psalm 119. God's word helps us to stay on God's path. Antioch Presbyterian Church values the importance of God's word. It's mentioned twice in our vision statement that Antioch Presbyterian Church exists as a family of God to teach the truth, that's the first, to serve the church, the community, and the world, always remaining true in worship to the unerring word of God, that's the second mention, in response to God's unwavering love for us. This morning, for our graduation celebration honoring Peyton, we presented him with a Bible because we believe in the importance of God's word. Now, I'm not sure, Peyton, that this Bible is your most exciting graduation gift. You probably got some pretty exciting stuff yesterday, I bet. But it's symbolic. Because the truth is, as long as Peyton has a smartphone or a computer, he can have ready access to God's word in whatever version he wants, right there at his fingertips. He can just type it in, find it. He can even listen to it on his iPod or his headphones or through a smartphone and have somebody, Cortana or Siri or a nice English voice, that sounds even more better, to read it to him as he's listening to it. So you can get it on the go. But by giving him a good quality print Bible, it shows him that this faith community values him and values God's word. It lets him know that we want him to hold fast to God's word, that we want him to keep it and make it a regular part of his life. And I hope that as he sees it, he'll remember this faith community that has helped support and raise him. And I hope that if you had to make a list of things that you would want with you on a deserted island, that a print Bible would be one of those things. Because after a while on a deserted island, your smartphone is going to run out of charge and you're going to need something. So having paper is always nice. For me, I don't think I'll ever get over having paper, even though when I'm out doing home communions and stuff, I most of the time use my cell phone as my Bible. But when I'm doing studying and reading, I like paper. It's nice. But even more than that, it's not so much about the paper. It's about the words that are in there. And it's about the word, as the scripture says, getting into our hearts. We hope, Peyton, that you will keep the word in your heart and that it will help you to stay away from sin and develop your godly character. So this section of Psalm 119 opens with one of the most well-known verses in the psalm. Choir opened singing it this morning. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We know that God himself is light, that Jesus is the light of the world, that Jesus has called us to be lesser lights in the world. So of course, all that is sourced in God is light and gives light. Last week we saw from 2 Timothy chapter 3 that all scripture is God breathed. And so not only does the scripture feed us like food, which we saw last week, but it gives us light. And notice that this is light for the next step, for the next few steps. It says the word is a light to our feet, a lamp to our path. We might not see the whole picture, but God is going to reveal to us the next steps. We don't have to understand everything in God's word, although we should make that a desire of our hearts, but we're not going to. But we are called to respond to what we do see and what we do know. We are called to believe it, to obey it, and to follow it. Now, sometimes the higher you lift the lamp, the farther you can see. And so we lift up God's word by having a high view of Scripture, by taking it seriously, and by recognizing, as our Reformed tradition teaches us, that Scripture is the only infallible rule for faith and the practice thereof. The light of God's word shines brightest sometimes when it's darkest. Our world becomes dark in times of affliction, which is what the psalmist is experiencing and describes. When we are afflicted, it can become more difficult for us to resist temptation. We become hopeless when it's dark. We try to take matters into our own hands. And when we are in the darkness, we need the light even more. When do you find it harder to resist temptation? Is it when things are going well for you or when things are difficult? In verse 109, the psalmist says, "My life is in my hands." Dr. William Barrick explains that what we carry falls so easily from our grasp. If it's in our hands, we're prone to drop it. The psalmist's life is in danger, and that's what he's trying to say. But we also have this saying about taking our lives in our own hands. And when we hear that phrase, we know that if we're doing that, we are taking a foolish chance with our lives, that we're doing something that's risky, that other people don't want responsible for. You're doing this on your own. I'm not part of it. So if something happens to you, it's your fault. That's what we mean when we say that. But the scriptures help remind us that our life is in God's hands. Through verses such as Romans 14:8 that says, "Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." Or 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, which tells us that we are not our own, for we were bought with a price. Or John 10:27-30, which tells that Jesus' sheep cannot be plucked out of his hands, and that even his hands are in the Father's hands, who is greater than all, and nobody can remove the sheep from his Father's hands. When we remember that God is sovereign over our lives, that our lives are in God's hands, our fears begin to subside and we can carry on. The word brings us revival and the word helps us to persevere. As the New Bible Commentary says, amid life's troubles, the word in the Lord's hands is able to teach and to renew. And amid life's troubles, the word in our hands is to be remembered and obeyed. In the middle of telling how his life is in danger, the psalmist entreats Yahweh to accept the free will offering of his mouth. That's verse 108. These free will offerings are spontaneous expressions of gratitude in contrast to those that are prescribed, things that we are commanded to say and do. And we need both of these. We need the spontaneity of gratitude that we experience when God delivers us, or the moments of joy and light we find in the midst of darkness. But we also need those times of discipline to offer praise and thanksgiving when we don't necessarily feel like it. But the fact that the psalmist can freely offer praise and thanks to God in the midst of his own life being at risk shows the joy that he has despite his circumstances. In verse 111, we can see that this joy comes from Yahweh's testimonies, those unshakable truths about God, ourselves, and the cosmos. When the world feeds us lies, we need to hold on to God's truth, which is why Antioch Presbyterian Church commits itself to teaching the truth. Finding the joy amid affliction keeps us from falling into sin. And joy comes from possessing God's word. Possessing God's word is not simply owning a Bible. It's way less about that and much more about claiming and owning the word internally. And if we are to find this joy, we must commit to fulfilling God's word as demonstrated through active obedience. That's how we show that the word is in us, is when we do what it says. The New Bible Commentary says, joy without obedience is frivolity. Obedience without joy, however, is moralism. Notice that in this brief section of Psalm 119, there are four body parts mentioned. There's the feet, the mouth, the hand, and the heart. In 1 Corinthians 6, to which I alluded earlier, it tells us that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And when we sin, we defile that temple. Now, in that chapter, Paul's speaking specifically of sexual immorality. But we know that our body parts can get us into trouble in lots of ways. In verse 105, he talks about the feet. When we sin, we go places where we shouldn't go, or we don't go the places where we should go. And that gets us in trouble. But if the Word of God guides our feet, we can stay on the right path. In verse 108 is where the mouth is mentioned. And our mouths give us lots of trouble. James talks about how terrible the tongue can be and how difficult it can be to control. Both blessings and cursings can come out of our mouths right in the same sentence sometimes. But we also use our tongues for lying, for gossiping, and for all kinds of evil things. But if we are using our mouths to praise and thank God for God's word, for who God is, we can stay on that right path. Verse 109 mentions the hand. When we hand our troubles over to God, we keep on God's paths. When we try to do things ourselves, taking our lives in our own hands, we get ourselves into trouble and we fall into sin. So we need to hand it over to God. And in verses 111 through 112, the heart is mentioned. In the Old Testament, whenever you see the heart, it's the seat of the will. We often think of heart as the seat of the emotions, but in the Old Testament, that's the guts or the bowels. The heart in the Old Testament is the seat of the will, where we determine that we are going to do things. And this is why the psalm ends with that determined statement, I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. I am determined to do your will, O Lord. So when we do things that we want to and use our own wills, we often go the wrong way, get off God's path. But when we align our will with God's word, we know that we'll always be on the right path and that we will be able to resist sin. So I hope that we will be as committed to keeping all of our body parts on God's path, which we can do as we follow God's word. May the word be for us always a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you again for the gift of your word that lights our way. Because you are light, what you tell us is light. Lord, we ask that you would help us to keep all our body parts in line with your word, that we might not sin against you. Thank you that when the world seems darkest, your light shines the brightest. Your truth will tell us where to go. Thank you that we don't have to understand it all, but you call us to obey and follow and commit ourselves to that which you reveal. So may we do that, always striving to receive more and more of your light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.